Did you make it? No, she said. I didn't either, I said. You know, God made it, didn't he? Yes, she said, he did. The same one made both hands, yes. And yet you've been proud of one and ashamed of another. That's like the clay saying to the potter, you have no right to make me that way. Will you accept this hand as it is, as much as a creation of God, incomplete though it may be, would you accept it as a valid expression of God's creative genius? As much as you have this one? She began to cry. And she said, only God knows how ashamed of that hand I've been. I said, no, not only God knows, your hand knows. I heard it crying out. It's tired of being rejected. It wants to be accepted in love. And so I said, hold it before us. Right here at the altar, we just whispered. And I said, speak to that hand. Ask it to forgive you for rejecting it like you have. Tell that hand that you accept it as a part of the creative genius of God. And that precious woman just yielded to the Spirit and went through that wonderful experience of accepting. And the next, and that was our prayer for that evening. That was enough for that night. And the next morning, I looked, and here she came, walking down the aisle, just as stately as she'd been the night before, but instead of having a long-sleeved tailored suit, she had on a short-sleeved dress. And here, both arms equally being swung, you know, as she walked. Beautiful. I could pray that morning with a lot more joy about God growing the rest of the fingers. It's amazing that we begin to see that faith is responding to Jesus in terms of a living, vital response in the all of us. And you begin to walk in that living, you know, reciprocal action. Now, one thing that I am learning about this is that at center is that personal love union. I didn't read Martin Buber, I just heard the teachers talking about him. that beautiful German theologian, or philosopher, maybe than a theologian. But I-thou relationship, that's the Buber word, the I-thou. But that's at center in life. You and Jesus, right at the heart of you, deep down where nobody else can get, but just you and him. That's your wellspring. To use good Kansas language, that's your watering trough. Don't let anybody else get there. That's for you. That's for you and the Lord. And at center, you and Jesus live there. Yes, Lord, I thou, I in thee and thou in me. Yes, Lord. And you find that he prefers you to himself, and you prefer him to yourself. And you just live in that glad give and take of holy abandonment. But coming out of that give and take, there are wonderful lessons that we learn in terms of relationships. One of the first lessons we learn is the relationship between the cross as a finished act and as a way of life. That's a beautiful thing. See, Jesus died on Calvary, hung his head and said, it is finished. We're going to be celebrating something of that in a few minutes. Now that's a finished work. Died unto death once and for all, and henceforth lives unto the Father. Doesn't have to die again. That's wonderful. Tasted death once for every man. Beautiful. And he died. And that's a finished work. No other atonement for sin is or ever will be needed. It's done. It's done. The great transaction is done. But there's a cross for everyone. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There is a cross That's a finished work. But there is a cross as a daily way of life. And you die out in terms of the finished work by faith, that he did it for me, in terms of acceptance. You die out as a way of life in terms of faith, not by crucifying yourself. That's not, if I could just get myself off my hands, and God told me I had to be broken, so I'm going to be broken. Anything the Lord loves, it's a broken heart, a broken life. I'm going to be broken. You ever find people going around breaking themselves? That gets sickening. It's a pietistic gobbledygook. It really is. That's not the way we deny ourselves. I don't know anyone that centers on self more than a person trying to get rid of themselves. Because you pop up all over the place. I'll tell you what it means to me, that the self-denial as a way of life is living in that glad obedience to Jesus. And nowhere is the self denied more fully than when that denial of self is the backside of saying yes to Jesus. Let your life be an offering, your new life, your redeemed life, the bride life. And this is, as I see it, you see, in terms of teaching about wives, submit yourself to your husband. I had a friend of mine who really depended on his wife. She had a lot better sense than he did. He knew it, but he didn't tell her. He just cashed in on it. But she went to a conference where they were teaching submission. And she was determined she was going to be a Bible wife. So she's going to submit herself to her husband and make him the head of the house. Husbands, you'd be surprised what these wives go through at these conferences. I mean, come back home, we'll make you the head. As if you weren't already. And if your wife can make you the head, you ain't. But anyway, she'd heard all that, you know. She came back, and every time he'd ask her a question, "Darling, it doesn't matter to me. You're the head of the house, you know. Just whatever you want to do about it, business-wise, anything else." She was just being the mousy biblical wife. You think the Lord looks at the church as a mouse? And this old boy went into deep frustration. And they came to see and talk with me about it. And while they were talking, the Lord gave me a little discernment. And I picked up on it. And she said, "Yes, that's right. That's exactly what happened." And I said, "Darling, don't you realize that to submit yourself unto your husband is to make everything you have and are available? If you have a mind, submit your mind. Give him the benefit of your thinking. Let him know what your thinking is. If you have vision, if you have gifts or talents, then use them, submit them, give them unto your husband to use." See? That's wonderful. Isn't that what he's asked of the church? He said, "Wives, submit yourself to the husband as the church submits to Jesus." We submit to Jesus, not to say, "Lord, just any old thing. I told the Lord, any old thing he want me to do, I do. I'm just waiting on the Lord. He wants me to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I guess he can. I told him if he wanted to, I'd do it. He must not want me to have tongues. I told him I'd do it if he wanted me to. I ain't done it yet." That's no kind of submission. That's laziness. That's not denying thyself. That's coddling thyself. No. It's a love response. Love response. And so, as you love your husband, you respond to him by offering him in that reciprocal action all that you are, and that as you yield everything you have, and he yields all that he has, as Jesus loves the church, out of your mutual gift of love, there rises a new kingdom, the home, over which God rules. It's that way with us. So from within us, that yes, as we learn to walk in every area of our life, what is it to walk the cross life? It's to learn to say yes in thought life. Yes, Lord, that seems good enough to be from you. I'll consider that. I'll check that out. In your heart life. Yes, Lord. I sense that. It seems like you believe in them a little too much, but if you don't know any better than to love them that way, I'll start loving that way, Lord, if that's what you're saying, do. And you start daring to follow through. And as you dare to follow through, you discover that faith is not a formula, but faith becomes that vital existential response where you dare to step out in obedience to what the Lord has asked you to do. Now in that, there's another relationship that I found to be very basic. I was mentioning this at breakfast. And that is the relationship between what is given and what needs to be worked out. And it's both and. It's both and. For instance, salvation is given. Christian character is developed. It's worked out. God doesn't give you Christian character. He can give you himself, and does give you himself. You can never earn the gift of life. That's given. You receive the Holy Ghost not because you held your mouth right. You receive the Holy Spirit through faith in the Lord Jesus. But you can pray till you're blue in the face. Lord, oh, give me Christian character. Give me, Lord, that kind of character that will stand in the storm. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll send the storm. And then teach you to stand by letting you have the freedom to fall. And you begin to discover through the choices that you make, you learn to work out. And some things are given. Some things are developed and worked out. And it's that in terms of healing. Some healings are given. And just given by grace through faith. But some healings are meant to be in obedience to laws. And if you don't obey the law that God has related to that healing, you can have Father Francis, Brother Orr, Sister Agnes, Brother Tommy, all these great saints. Glory to God! So we need to really find that beautiful relationship between that which God is doing in his gift and that which involves our response. And in every area of life, you'll find that. The given and the worked out. The given and the worked out. And as you find that relate, and that's a delicate balance. And it has to be worked out in every relationship. I haven't found any that it hadn't been. And that's the challenge. That keeps you on the edge of the seat. And that shows you that wonderful faith that he has in us. And that's why he's waiting. I don't think that the end of the age, the consummation of the age, is waiting for a certain predetermined calendar date. That's why calendar dates don't excite me one bit. I understand somebody down in Florida set June the 20th this time. You know, that doesn't excite me one bit. I don't think at all God is determined his time through the Gregorian calendar. No. God's time is spiritual time. It's eternal. God's waiting for us. You and I. What wilt thou? And as you learn, and you can manifest outwardly now that which you've already learned in terms of eternal life. And as we learn to incorporate, we can manifest. And God is waiting for us individually and corporately to enter into such union with Him that we've learned the issues pertaining to godliness and learned them from the inside out. And as we've been faithful over the little, He says, you've learned it well, let's see the great. And you begin to see the greater in terms of His kingdom of glory. And we move with Him from glory to glory in terms of these relationships. That personal, wonderful union with Jesus worked out through relationships. One other thing that I'd like to say in terms of relationship is to learn the relationship between receiving and giving. And I don't mean just by money. That may be the least important area where we need to learn to receive and give. One is instruction. We need to be willing to learn instruction. But when you get an obedient spirit, and you're really willing to learn, the temptation is just to be a learner. And everybody that comes along with a word for you, you feel obligated to accept it. That must be true. I never saw it that way, but thank you. You know? And I want to say, just because somebody said, thus saith the Lord, it doesn't mean it's purely the Lord. The Lord takes on the coloring of the vessel through whom He comes. You heard about a lot of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters have a lot of stories about people. And we learned from old Pentecost. Please don't throw old Pentecost out. I mean these denominational groups. We learned a lot from one of my brothers was telling me about this preacher who discovered that God inhabited the praises of His people. So he was excited. And he tried to get the people to praise the Lord. Well, they were like us, you know. They weren't all accustomed to that gung-ho stuff. And they just sort of held back a little. They weren't responding. So one morning he came in and they weren't praising the Lord. And so he got a prophecy. He stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, my people, if you are my people, I have withdrawn my presence from your midst. For I inhabit the praises of my people, and you do not praise me. I am no longer in your midst. Yes, sirree, Bob. Isn't that a scream? Now, a lot of times, if we don't know this balance, yes, I want to be obedient. I want to be a disciple. I want to learn. But in that learning process, I've got to learn that balance of giving. And that is to give to that which I've received my own integrity. And though it may be the greatest truth you know, if it's not real to me, I'm not going to latch on to it. And in my obedience, I have to honor you, not by pretending to believe or accept, but by saying, I give you the freedom in love to walk in the light that you've just stated, but that's not light to me, and I'll love you as you go. And learn that kind of balance. For as you do so, you discover that you'll become a teacher too. As long as you feel like you've got to receive everything anybody gives, you'll never learn to give. It's that balance between accepting and then incorporating that which is real, that which the Lord is teaching you, and then that which you worked out in your life, you can offer, and you can expect the same thing from others. I'll preach the greatest thing I've known to preach, like last night. I want to tell you, that blessed me so much. Really. And I said to Francis and Judith last night, and now somebody didn't hear me last night, I just said it to them. I said, you know, sometimes I preach my heart out like that and just give the great insight and truth and, you know, profound. And somebody come up and say, oh, I like your smile. Well, hallelujah. But what about a profound thought? And so I was sitting at breakfast this morning, you know, just sitting there. And here came this precious sister by and looked at me and smiled and said, "You have the nicest smile." She knew how I felt. It's amazing. I preach sometimes great, and people sit there and reject it. You know, they don't know how deep and wonderful it is. Deep and wide. And you know, I'll get all uptight about it, and I'll go to the Lord and say, "Lord, let's just find a way to get them out. They don't know good stuff when they hear it." And then the whisper be, "Son, haven't I given you the freedom to receive and give?" "Yes, Lord." "Well, what makes you think I don't want them to have it? And who better can they learn it from than one of my obedient ones?" So I want you to know, in the name of Jesus, you have the freedom to reject everything I've said. That's your problem. But we learn to live in that freedom of giving and receiving. So find these relationships, and they're just some of the few. And in that wonderful union with Jesus of identification, we walk. And that brings us to the next hour, where we're going to really dramatize in the Eucharist that identification of death and resurrection. Both are real. Both. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother?